After initially proposing an education aid package in January that would have slowed the growth of support from the state for New York schools, Governor Kathy Hochul announced this week, as part of a conceptual budget framework deal, that, as expected, a final spending plan will go above and beyond her first education aid proposal. To discuss what we know about this part of the state budget, which will likely cost around $36 billion, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Bob Lowry, Deputy Director for Advocacy, Research, and Communications at the New York State Council of School Superintendents. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Well, for starters, can you remind listeners of the general parameters of the education proposal in the governor's budget, which, while increasing state aid overall, would have still led to year-over-year cuts for some districts?
That's right. The governor proposed two major changes in foundation aid. Foundation aid is about 70% of total school aid. There are other formulas: building aid, transportation aid, aid for special education programs, so forth. But foundation aid is the major funding source. The governor proposed, first, a reduction in what's called Save Harmless. And what Save Harmless says is we will run the formula, and if the formula for the coming year would generate less than what you're getting this year, we will give you the same amount as what you have been getting. So no year-to-year loss in aid. The governor proposed reductions ranging from 9% of the Save Harmless amount, the amount needed to bring districts up to prior year funding level, for poor districts up to a maximum of 50%. And just over half the districts in the state would be affected by that proposal and would experience year-to-year cuts in foundation aid as a result. The other change that she proposed was altering the way in which inflation is factored into foundation aid. Currently, it's the average monthly change in the consumer price index over the last calendar year. The governor proposed using a 10-year average, annual average of inflation, excluding the high and low years. And that reduced the inflation adjustment from 4.1% called for by the formula now in law to 2.4%. So those are the changes that the governor proposed.
Well, what do we know about the status of those two proposals for this conceptual budget deal that the governor announced on Monday?
The governor didn't really speak to the details of what's under consideration. What we have picked up from conversations with legislative sources primarily, and implied by some of the governor's remarks, there will not be cuts in Save Harmless, no year-to-year reductions for 2024-25, and a likelihood of a lower inflation adjustment than the 4.1% called for by current law. But a specific number has not been cited. And basically, under the governor's proposal, we had half the districts in the state getting less aid than the year before. Other districts would have gotten a smaller increase than they would have otherwise. What apparently is under discussion is, again, no cuts in Save Harmless, no year-to-year cuts in state aid as a result, but smaller increases for districts than what they would receive if the formulas now in law were continued.
Well, do we know what the top line spending number is projected to be for education aid, even if we don't know necessarily how it's cooked up?
We really need to know what that inflation adjustment would be. You know, we have, with the governor's announcement yesterday, school district officials contacting us about school aid runs. What does this mean? And we cannot give them specific dollar amounts for their district. But, you know, we are able to share essentially what I just said to you. If I recall correctly, I think the governor's announcement said something like a $1.3 billion increase. The Safe Harmless reductions that she had proposed, those were just under $170 million. Having a greater inflation factor than what she proposed would add some. And then the data that's used in calculating school aid is updated between when the governor proposes her budget and now. So that also has an effect on the overall cost of school aid.
As part of the governor's briefing, I guess we'll call it, where she announced the conceptual framework. She made some comments about the need to update how the state doles out its education aid dollars. What is the plan for, say, next fiscal year, and how the state will determine who gets what?
Again, we don't know details. I think that from some of the governor's comments focusing on safe, harmless districts which have lost students, 2 weeks ago she spoke about giving districts advance notice and warning about changes. I think the implication of that is that she expects that one outcome of this review would be changes in safe, harmless, with the result that districts could lose aid year to year. I will say that all the major public school groups, we have called for an effort to review and update the foundation aid formula. What the governor did say yesterday, which did add some to our understanding, is that where the Assembly and Senate would have added $1 million to the state education department's budget to lead this work, the governor, in her spoken remarks, said that the Rockefeller Institute of Government would be commissioned to do this in collaboration with the state education department.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. We're talking about the early details that have emerged on education for the state budget. And our guest is Bob Lowry, Deputy Director for Advocacy, Research, and Communications at the New York State Council of School Superintendents. As someone who's been around the block a time or two here in Planet Albany, what do you think is a realistic timeline to expect any changes to how New York doles out education aid? Do you think this is something that could take effect as soon as next year, or is this something that's likely to have a much more drawn out process?
I'd say that remains to be seen. Again, public school groups collaborated on recommendations to the state education department about how to go about doing a review. And we said there are some things that it is possible to update immediately. Other things would require research, probably done by outside experts, and that would presumably take more time. You need funding to do it, then you need to run through a formal process to select the consultants to assist with that work. But there are changes that could be proposed for the next state budget.
Anything else on the education side of things that we now know concretely about that will be in the state budget that you're interested in? Or are there a lot of variables that you're still waiting to have answered when we finally see budget language?
School aid is obviously the major factor, a major consideration. And this year, it's really only foundation aid, which seems to be in play. Again, we have other formulas, but the governor had proposed funding those according to current law. There are other issues, many other issues that we're concerned about. One is extending the authorization for the exemption from earnings limits for public sector employees working in retirement and collecting their pension. School districts, many suffering, experiencing hiring shortages, and have come to rely on these retirees to help out and fill those positions. And so that is an example of an issue that we have prioritized. I don't expect any action this year on mitigating the timelines for transition to zero emission school buses. So there are many issues, but again, foundation aid is the major preoccupation at this point. Districts are really at the point of needing to finalize the budget proposals that they will ask voters to consider.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the timeline that we're looking at right now? Because I know there's some important thresholds that we're dancing around if we're going to have budgets that are informed by reality for school, for voters to actually vote on this summer.
School districts outside the big five cities are required to submit their annual operating budgets for voter approval this, and it's the third Tuesday in May, May 21st this year. But there are deadlines that they have to comply with. leading up to that vote. And some are just practical. How much time do they need to get information out to the voters? But there are some deadlines set in law and regulation. Probably the most concrete and consequential is by April 26th, districts are required to send out ballots to voters in the armed services. Small city school districts have a bit more time, May 7th, but for all the other districts, they're required to do that by April 26th. And, you know, so we are approaching that. And a point that we have emphasized is the more reliant a district is on state aid and the more uncertainty there is about how much they will receive, the more time they may need to weigh options and finalize a budget. So as I said, you know, as an organization, we have never said school districts need a literally on-time state budget, but they do need a timely budget. And that's, we're in that period now where we are getting calls from superintendents asking, what should we do? What can we count on?
Well, finally, coming back to personnel for school districts, we heard from the state budget director, Blake Washington, that the final budget will likely include a pension sweetener for Tier 6 employees. Those are the most recent public employees hired in, say, the last 14 years. We heard from the head of NYSET that Tier 6 needs to be overhauled in order to boost the incentives designed to hire public employees. Do you think what's on the table right now is something that will have a meaningful impact on the recruitment and retention efforts for school districts?
We have solicited reactions from superintendents. Major idea that we have heard is instead of using a five-year average of five-year final average salary calculation to determine benefits using a three-year. That's what 3 years was used in the prior pension tiers. We have gotten mixed reviews from our members about the potential value of that. Having said that, our members do feel that Tier 6 in all its details has become an impediment to recruitment and retention of staff. And so we are open to looking at changes. But again, we've gotten varied reactions to this specific idea of reverting to a three-year final average salary calculation.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Bob Lowry. He's the Deputy Director for Advocacy, Research, and Communications at the New York State Council of School Superintendents. Bob, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, certainly. Thank you.
And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capital Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.